One of the most historic decisions in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court was issued over the summer, a decision that's impacting the midterm elections and your part in them. The court overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, meaning each state now gets to decide to what extent abortion will be legal or illegal within their borders. These are decisions that will be made by people who go to the polls. Abortion and prayer about the issues and the candidates are the focus of this third and final episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections. It's a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association featuring insight from an attorney, a journalist, a public policy analyst, and a pastor. In each episode, our guests encourage you to consider the importance of exercising your right to vote. Another resource that we are offering right alongside the podcast is a free downloadable guide, also titled A Biblical Perspective on Elections. It offers scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues this election season, and insights from Franklin Graham. To download your copy, go to billygraham.org/guide, or you can simply use the link that is in the show notes. Let's get to the discussion now about the sanctity of life and the importance of prayer in these midterm elections.
And this is the third episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections. I'm Justin Arnott. I'm general counsel here at BGA, and I'm going to ask that each of our guests tell us who they are.
I'm Vince Riley, senior pastor at Meeting Place Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Also, I'm the former festival associate here at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
And I'm Bob Paulson, editor of Decision Magazine here at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
I'm Meg Kilgannon, Senior Fellow for Education Studies at the Family Research Council, and I'm formerly Director of the Office of Faith and Opportunity Initiatives at the U.S. Department of Education.
Moving to the abortion space, of course, we had the Dobbs decision here in the last term, and few decisions have been so watched and probably so impactful in terms of changing the direction of public discourse on things. And some folks, some listeners included, might not understand fully that Dobbs did not outlaw abortion. It simply pushed that issue back to the states, which I think the constitutional framers said that's where this type of issue should be. So the folks in the legislatures at the state level have the opportunity then to decide, you know, the representatives of the people have the opportunity to decide how to handle an issue in that state, at least now, unless there's some federal legislation that comes across. And so the battleground really moves, as you're saying, Meg, from the federal level closer to home. And so how important is it then that this abortion issue remain on voters' minds as they go to the state polls and, of course, the federal polls, but even the local polls?
Yeah, well, we see states lining up on both sides of the issue now. And I think maybe it's even more important now because your state may be trying to figure out where are we going now? And so to have your voice heard in what your state's going to be doing, I think is super important right now.
Right. And the ballot initiative is becoming more of a process of relevance when it comes to abortion. When you see a lot of times our elected representatives don't want to make the decision, right? They'll put it back to the voters, right? And in the form of a referendum or a ballot initiative. And so it is some of the language on those initiatives, often they're very confusing, right? If I'm going into the voting booth and I know the candidates, but sometimes I could be surprised by that ballot initiative that's on there, on the ballot. And it's difficult to parse that language out in the moment there. It's by design, right? And so it's really important for you to be prepared if you're going to vote, and I hope that you will, that you be prepared for everything on that ballot, and including the school board races, including your county supervisor race, including all of the constitutional amendments, state constitutional amendments, your bond initiatives, all of it, right? You need to be ready. And there's lots of ways to educate yourself about that. But the fact now that even an issue so weighty as the right to life is going to be on your ballot is even more of a reason for Christians to be engaged.
And I think one of the things that I would highly recommend as the election's getting closer and closer is to find your sample ballot. I live in South Carolina. I just went to the state election commission and I just had to enter first name, last name, date of birth, and last four digits of your social security number. They look up your actual voting record and they remind you what your voting place is and everything you're gonna see when you go to vote. And here's the time when you got a couple of weeks to look at the candidates and the, you know, the different referendums and stuff.
But can you read us off just the offices that you're gonna have to vote for?
Yeah, so we have governor and lieutenant governor, secretary of state, state treasurer, attorney general, comptroller general, state superintendent of education, commissioner of agriculture, U.S. Senate 2, U.S. House of Representatives, State House of Representatives, Solicitor, Probate Judge, Soil and Water District Commission, School Board District, and then 2 statewide constitutional amendments.
Wow.
And you know, one might be tempted to think, I don't know what these offices even do, so what does it matter whether there's a Christian or non-Christian doing it? But that's not the case. I mean, we see it in the Bible playing out. People that are office holders at various levels, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, appointed for purposes and then have opportunity to not just take a stand, because not every hill is a hill to die on, but when the Lord brings around critical moments, we have to be prepared to step into those, and we do that based on conviction that comes from God. So I think it is important to understand something about the candidates, even for these more, what we would say, are obscure offices. You know, I'm reminded that our system of government, we have different branches. We have the legislative, we have the executive, and the judicial. And one of the great things that is sort of highlighted by the Dobbs decision is that the intent that the framers had and the way our government actually works is the more people that can get involved in this process in the legislative end of things, that's where law is made. And so at the state and the local level, and of course at the federal level, if we have folks that believe that Judeo-Christian principles, namely the scriptures, are important and that they have impact and import for our lives, the more people that get into office with that type of mindset, then the system of government that we have is actually working really well. And to your point, Meg, a minute ago, they turn to the singular politician, the executive officer, whether that's a governor or the president, and then they expect them to execute that law, to implement it, don't they?
Right, exactly. And then the executive, if it's the, let's say we're talking about a governor, the governor has a huge number of appointments that he or she would make during his or her term in office. And this means that, I live in Virginia, so the Board of Governors at the University of Virginia is going to have people that need to be, are cycling off that Board of Trustees, and he'll need to have more people to appoint, right? So if you're in a state where you've elected a pro-life governor, maybe as a pro-life person, you need to present yourself as a candidate for appointment to those positions. I think that we need to serve as well. And that doesn't always mean running for office. It can mean being in an appointed role. It can mean gathering people together in your home to hear from the candidate in a meet and greet, right? And it could be for both candidates that are running, right? Doesn't have to be for just one. There's so many things you can do to be engaged in the process and to support the elected officials that are elected in your community. As you're thinking about these issues, getting ready to go to the polls, we'd invite you to visit our website at frc.org. Family Research Council has information there on life, education, the family, all the kinds of issues we've talked about on the podcast today.
And another resource, Meg, we'd like people to have is Decision Magazine's special election issue. It explains why the elections are so important and what the two parties have said about these issues. And you can get it by going to decisionmagazine.com and just clicking the big box at the top of the page to let us know where we should send your free download link.
Another point I wanted to probe a little bit here is more on related to the abortion issue. Vince, this is such an important point, and it's not just that Scripture teaches it, but it plays out in real time, doesn't it?
And you get many Christians who are pro-choice, and I think that comes from not really having a solid foundation of knowledge of what the Scripture says about the unborn, about that life. And so, and I think, again, from a pastor's perspective, you know, has been for me is to really teach and preach about the importance of how God views that life. You know, again, in the Scriptures, there, Psalms 139:6, your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book were written, even every one of them, you know. And I think in Jeremiah, the first chapter, God tells Jeremiah, you know, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I saw you, I knew you, right? And so I'm not sure if that's being taught or preached a lot in churches today. And so I think, you know, there has become this, you know, less value put on that human life.
And we see daily in the news a disregard for human life. Meg, talk to us a little bit about the value of life.
It does. You see the struggle that families are under right now, the lack of family formation generally. Folks are not getting married. They're not having children. And we see this in our churches as well, where I think in my church, we have more funerals than weddings these days. And that's a really sad state of affairs. So the value of life, of each life, of every life, you know, whether that person is a nuclear scientist or has trouble doing basic math, that is a person who's here to love and be loved, right? And that's what we're all here for. We're made for love, to love God, to love each other. And we need to be embracing life that is always a blessing from God.
And in elections, we've heard this saying, elections have consequences. And probably there's no arena or issue where that's more clear than on the life issue in view of the Dobbs decision. And dignity of life is an issue not just at the beginning of life, which is, of course, in the abortion space. But Vince, I'm sure in your congregation, there are older adults and individuals that struggle with, does my life continue to have value? And so these issues are important in the political space because of the public policy that we have around life on the spectrum, aren't they?
Absolutely, Justin. And I think it's so important for us as believers, and particularly my job as a pastor, to make sure that believers know the value of their life. You know, that, again, you mentioned even the older person that, you know, their life is still important, that, you know, we just don't tuck them away because they're, you know, coming to the end of their journey, and that we just say, oh, you know, they're just older. They're still alive. God still values. And in fact, Scripture talks about how God honors us, gives us long life, right? And so, which means that God cares about us from, you know, before the womb, to the very end. You know, he is involved. He cares, and I think that's the value of life that we should honor, and we should see, and we should give glory to God for. But what we see today is really a less of a value put on life, and that life is, your life is expandable, and that, you know, perhaps if you're this age, or if you're here or there in life, or if you're in this class, that your life maybe doesn't matter as much. And that's never what God said in Scripture.
That's right. And we see in abortion measures or ballot initiatives or even bills that are proposed in state legislatures and so forth, not just the issue of to allow abortion or not and when to allow it or not, but selectivity of when is it permissible to abort. You know, these kinds of things are creeping in as if we can custom design what God creates in the womb, and as if we should have some right to value one over another. If you'd like to learn more about these issues and maybe how to approach them from a biblical perspective, we have a downloadable guide here at BGEA. It's available at billygraham.org/guide. That's billygraham.org/GUIDE. And that's a biblical perspective on elections. And I think these are definitely issues that we should be concerned about as we inform ourselves and think about how we're to steward our responsibility as believers in the public space.
There are so many public policy implications around this issue of life that play out, especially when you have more and more government involvement in the delivery of healthcare and the financing of healthcare. Then those questions about who gets what treatment, what kind of treatment they're getting, are we going to pay for abortions? Are we going to pay for care at the end of life? Those become, sadly, political questions. And so we need to be honest with ourselves about that and to really consider the really tremendous responsibility that we have as believers, as Christians, to be engaged in this process that's going to involve those kinds of issues and decisions.
You know, we've talked about the sample ballot, studying who's running and stuff, but maybe this would be a good thing for Vince, I don't know, to really, you know, here's the thing, we might say, hey, pray before you vote, but how many of us give a 30-second prayer? Yeah. I mean, how about really digging in and putting this before the Lord?
Absolutely. Well, again, prayer is important. And as we go into this election season, I think it's important for us to seek God's face. And that's what really prayer is all about, is seeking God's face for the right choice, for the right decisions. We need His wisdom. And I think prayer does is it prepares us. And I think we should pray for the candidates. We need to pray for the process. We need to pray for each other. And I think even in Christian circles, it's important to have special times of prayer. I think it's important to get the sample ballot and lay that out before you and pray for those candidates that's there, you know. And really, you know, we can't go into this thing without prayer. In fact, I'm heard to put, and I believe that without prayer, we don't have a prayer. And so, yeah, prayer is going to be important. Prayer is always important when it comes to being led to make the right choice. And even if it's not the choice that we choose, it's our biblical obligation to pray for those that God allows to be in office. Whether it's our choice or not, we still have a biblical obligation to pray for them.
Pray for them is a fantastic. And what about praying with them? You know, circling back to this relationship thing, I think even if they're not our persuasion politically, you know, I think going to support them with prayer, It may be that some will refuse prayer and I don't want to talk to you and all that, but my guess is that most public servants would welcome the support or the expression of support and to at least meet some of their constituents. I think that's a wide open door for us as Christians, even if you don't want to be articulating the issues or you're not gifted that way or whatever. You can sure pray, as Meg said, you can pray for them. We can all do that here. But wouldn't it be cool if we had Christians actually going to try to get to know those people? I mean, I think that's where difference can really be made. The presence of Christ felt in the public space through relationship. If Christ is in us, we're in contact with people, he changes that environment. The aroma of Christ will be in that room with us. I think that's a real palpable thing. So, Vince, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for, God, just the ability to sit and discuss, God, these things before you, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us the privilege to cast our votes, Lord, to be involved with the political process. And, Lord, not in endorsing any candidate or any political party, but Lord God, recognizing that it is our kingdom citizens' right and responsibility, Lord, to pray, to seek your face, Lord, for the right candidates that you would have to sit in office. Lord, you said that if your people call by your name, humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, and turn from our wicked ways, God, that, Father, you will hear from heaven, you would forgive our sins, and you would heal our land. God, our land needs healing. And Lord, we pray, God, that you will give us your guidance, God, that you would grant us your peace, God, that you would grant us your wisdom, God, as we go to the polls to vote, and Lord and God, that you would lead us and guide us. Lord, the scripture says that some may trust in their chariots, some trust in their horses, some trust in their political, their military strength. But Lord God, we choose to trust in the name of the Lord. Scripture tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge you and you shall direct our path. Father, we are acknowledging you, that you may direct our path and all that we do, particularly in this area of voting. God, that you will be with us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's our hope that this conversation has been helpful to you today in gaining a biblical perspective on elections. That was our goal. This is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Justin Arnott, General Counsel. And with me today has been Vince Riley, who's a local pastor. And thank you, Vince, for being with us and for serving the Lord through your calling as a pastor. Bob, thank you for your service to BGEA as editor of Decision Magazine and for being here today. And Meg Kilgannon, thank you so much for sharing with us today from your insight and experience and your love for the Lord and for people.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak with you.
Thank you, Justin. It's been great to be here.
Thank you, Justin. It's been a blessing to be here.
How appropriate that Pastor Vince Riley closed out this final episode in prayer, because praying is the most important thing you can do in preparation for the midterm elections. And it's our prayer that you found this podcast helpful and that you'll tell others about it. We have one more resource we would like to offer you. It's a free downloadable guide that offers scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues at hand in this election season, and insights from Franklin Graham. It has the very same name as the podcast, A Biblical Perspective on Elections. You can download your free copy by going to billygraham.org/guide, or you can use the link in the show notes. We do want to say one more thank you, and that is to our guests, Justin Arnott, Meg Kilgannon, Pastor Vince Riley, and Bob Paulson. We need to squeeze in yet one more thank you, and that's a big thank you to you for listening, for caring, and for praying for these midterm elections. Just a reminder that this is a three-part podcast series, so if this is the first episode you heard, don't miss episode 1 and 2. A Biblical Perspective on Elections is a production of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.